Views. I'm your host, Renee Kranz. On today's show, we are going to talk to Chris Motes, the Executive Director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference. We're going to talk about the social teaching of the church, sometimes known as social justice, and how it is confused with political social justice. And that's a hard word to say, Dr. B. Social justice. We're going to talk to Dr. B first and get some biblical bites with
biblical
Dr.
Bites
B.
With Dr. B. How are you doing, Renee?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
No German today?
Nine. That's all you're going to get.
Okay.
Nine
good.
Means no. So today's gospel is the, just as a reminder to you, it's the parable of the owner of the vineyard who asks other workers to go into the vineyard throughout the day.
Oh, yep.
And at the end of the day, he lines them up. The last come first. They get a full day's wage. And he goes, and the ones who worked all day, they're like, oh, sweet. He gave those people a full day's wage. I worked all day. I'm going to get the
overtime.
Same thing. So they're thinking overtime, but they get the same thing. So this is how the gospel reading ends. And on receiving it, so they get the usual wage, and on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last ones worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat. He said to one of them in reply, my friend, I'm not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? So your reaction or a friend's reaction to this parable, Renee? When you hear that one, read that one, how do you respond?
Why do you do this to me?
Just.
That's how I respond. I guess I would think that it sounds unfair.
Right.
But he can do whatever he wants with his money. He sounds very American.
The complainer?
You can do whatever I didn't know you wanted me to be the complainer.
Well,
oh.
No. Naturally. Do you identify with the complainer?
Of course.
Right? Why?
Because everybody wants what they think they should get.
But they are getting what they agreed to it.
They did agree to it.
So they're getting a full day's wage.
But they don't see justice in it.
Why not?
Because it's not their justice. I guess it would be mine.
You're doing really good.
Okay.
You're doing really good. Can you say more? But why isn't it just?
Because it's not what man would expect. I don't know.
So, okay. So let me.
Yeah, you got me.
No, you're doing well. What's the difference between, and you can punt on this one.
Wait, Bill?
Bill.
You got anything?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Bill, you're over here. But what's the difference between envy?
No, you were going on. Carry on. Go ahead.
What's the difference between either of you? Somebody answer the question.
I was impressed. I was like, if she throws the word social in there, we're going to get the whole social justice thing throughout the whole thing.
We're going to get it.
It's true. What's the difference between jealousy and envy? Either of you have any guesses?
Yeah. Yeah. Envy means you want what they have, but you don't want them to have it.
Boom.
Yeah.
So jealousy is when, Renee's got this Ferrari. I want a Ferrari. Why can't I have the Ferrari? Envy is when Renee's got the Ferrari. I want the Ferrari and I don't want her to have it.
Right.
She shouldn't have it. So envy is definitely worth it. We kind of use them a little bit interchangeably, but you're absolutely right that the envy is, frankly, it's worse because it's not just, I want what they got. It's, I want what they got and I don't want them to have
it. Right. They don't deserve it
whatever. Right. Something for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So here again, this is a parable. This didn't really happen, but how much, just like the parable of the prodigal son, for instance, it's so easy for us to identify like with the older brother there, or for us to identify with the complainer here. But what does that say about us?
Yeah.
That just for me, it is a good reminder. Listen, I'm the Lord's, I like to think that I'm allowing the Lord to purify my heart, to make me holier today than I was yesterday. But when I read parables like this and I have the same envious response, I'm like, oh man, Lord, you got a long ways to go with
That is so true. Yeah, I've experienced that myself.
So I think it's just first of all, it's just a good reminder. If we're responding that way, just that's how the Lord through his scripture shows us. Still got some work to do, Chris. I'm working on you. Be patient, but be attentive to it.
He's always tapping on our shoulder.
Exactly.
Hey, hello.
Exactly.
This is you.
Just the other thing here in this little bit we have left, but I think maybe even more important. So we focused on that, but more important, this shows how much God delights in lavishing his grace upon us. Mm-hmm. How much he delights in giving me. This is not about he doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe you anything. And yet in his great and lavish generosity, he pours out upon us way more than we quote unquote deserve, right. Way more than we quote unquote earned. So yeah, maybe recognize your own envy, but even more, recognize the great generosity of the God who loves us deeply.
All right. Thanks for that, Dr. B.
You bet.
All right, on to Chris Motes. Joining me on the show today is Chris Motes. Again, we like having Chris here.
It's great to be here.
He is the executive director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference. Today, Chris, we're going to talk. Last week we talked about socialism. This week we are going to talk about the church's teaching on social justice, which is probably more accurately called the social teaching of the church. Rather than social justice, but...
Well, we could actually distinguish those and say the social teaching includes lots of different concepts. We could talk right. about human dignity, the common good,
that's
subsidiarity.
True.
And then social justice is a very particular term within the social teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So we can distinguish them, although social justice, I think you're very right to point out that the term social justice, what we understand by that term, is really inseparable from some of these other terms, especially human dignity and the common good.
Right. Right. And it's a little bit confusing today because social justice is used in political terms and it doesn't really mean the same thing that we mean coming from the church.
Yeah. And I want to just start, I came across a couple of years ago some very interesting statistics that I thought might be interesting for people to hear. So there's this professor at Catholic University of America, Andreas Widmer. He actually used to be what do they call the guys that guard? The Swiss guard. He used to be a Swiss guard, but now he had a career in business and now teaches in the business school at Catholic University of America. And he did a study a couple years ago, and he put these terms from the church's social teaching in front of people and just said, okay, do you recognize that term? Do you know what it means? And so for the term social justice, 63% of people, they're like, yeah, I've heard that term and I know what it means.
Right.
Well, then the follow-up question is, okay, what does it mean?
What does it mean?
11 and 12% of Catholics knew what the term meant.
Oh boy.
And then for non-Catholics, it was about 9%. So Catholics and non-Catholics, not that far off, but you know, 90% of people don't really know what it means.
Right.
And I think that's to your point is this term actually gets used a lot, you know, hashtag social justice, mm-hmm. but what does it actually mean?
Right.
And the church has an answer.
Yeah. The church actually was kind of the creator of the idea of social justice in the 1800s, or was it before that even?
Yeah. So in 1891, last week, when we were talking about socialism, we talked about this big encyclical of Leo the 13th, Pope Leo the 13th, Rerum Novarum. He kind of toyed with a couple of different phrases and he ended up going with a phrase, social charity. It wasn't until 40 years later, 1931, Pius the 11th and Quadragesimo Anno, sort of reflecting 40 years after this first big economic encyclical, social, moral encyclical, that's the first time the church in her magisterium uses the term social justice.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the early 30s. So when we have to, you know, kind of just let's put ourselves in the frame of mind of like what's happening in the world at this time. 1890s, there's socialism, there are just intellectuals everywhere think that socialism is going to be the future, like
right.
the economic future of society.
This
and
is not long after Marx.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And it's of course before the Russian Revolution, mm-hmm. et cetera, but it's an academic idea that's really ascendant. But we also see that there are some real problems with completely unfettered industrialism, because for the first time in the history of man, people are living longer. And so, historically, 90% of human beings were farmers, but now people are living much, much longer, with advances in science and medicine and so forth, that there's sort of mass migration into cities. We have a lot of Europeans moving to America looking for more opportunities. And so as of, you know, in the midst of the Industrial Revolution, so Leo in 1891 is kind of writing about these two, you know, great things. Mm-hmm. By great, I mean big things, kind of socialist thought, but then capitalism, industrialism, what's going on here? It's 40 years later that Pius XI, Quadratus Emanu, he has a little bit more, there's more sort of road under the wheels, so to speak. There's okay. a bit more distance in the rearview mirror, and he can see the ways that some of these ideas have been played out. And so he's the one that introduces this term for the first time, social justice, which it's like, okay, what does it mean? And here's how the church understands mm-hmm. it. And for anybody who's keeping score at home and you want to like go and look it up, this is paragraph 1928 in the Catechism. Is there's a little section on social justice. So I'm just going to read these two sentences. Society ensures social justice when it provides the conditions that allow for associations or individuals to obtain what is their due according to their nature and their vocation. Social justice is linked to the common good and the exercise of authority. So in short, sort of Professor Andreas Widmer, when he was putting the survey in front of people, a right answer for these 11 or 12% of Catholics mm-hmm. got the answer right. If they said anything along the lines of, it's when individuals or groups are afforded what is their due, okay. which is that's the classic definition of right. of justice,
right.
like giving one's due.
Right.
But it's as you've, you know, we've started to talk a little bit about the hashtag social justice, there can be a lot of different ways that this idea, this term, if you will, floats around just right. sort of contemporary discourse.
Right. And it's really in the 30s, 40s, and later on, as that started to take shape, a secular kind of idea started to emerge as well and started to kind of co-opt that, the way I understand it.
Yeah.
So they kind of used it as a means, as a way to mean equality and everybody kind of gets the same thing and redistributing wealth and so on, which is the common idea of it now, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a book I've read a couple years ago. It was published in 2015. It's called Social Justice Isn't What You Think It Is. It's by Michael Novak and Paul Adams, both academics. Michael Novak is now passed on, but a theologian, philosopher, historian. Paul Adams was a social worker by trade and training. So they're laymen, and they're sort of, just a quick disclaimer, is part of the book, they're sort of trying to prudentially apply what some of the principles are, but they flesh out a lot of the magisterial teaching. And in their view, there are you know, five or six different errors that they point to in terms of like when the term social justice gets used improperly. And so just real quickly, the list that they run through that made a lot of sense to me as I was reading this. So that there's a kind of a sense of equality, mm-hmm. which in a certain sense, like as Americans, we love equality.
Yes.
And we can think of it as like fairness, mm-hmm. like fairness under the law, due process, equal protection. But there's a false conception of equality that would lead us towards uniformity.
Right.
Which we know that, okay, all human beings have equal dignity, but we're not all the same.
Right. God did not make us that way.
You know, example number one, you are a woman, I am a man.
Right.
Like there's a difference there.
Yep.
And we are equal in our dignity. We're created by God, loved by God. But okay, so equality, when we think of it in terms of uniformity, that would be sort of a false understanding of social justice. Distribution is another, mm-hmm. But then that they point out like, well, one of the errors that gets caught up when we think of sort of social justice as sort of social distribution of goods. One of the problems
by the state,
but that's exactly
that's
where
the
they
problem.
Go is who distributes,
right?
Who distributes.
And that can be such a dangerous
yes.
thing to step into.
It can be.
Yeah.
You know, another thing they raise, another one of the errors is linking it to the common good, which actually the church links it to the common good. You'll see in the catechism for those that go look that up at home. But the problem when society sort of links it to the phrase common good and uses the term common good, sometimes we have a very, it's wrong to have a very reduced understanding of the human person. And it oftentimes gets used in a way that is super materialistic, that only considers the human person or even the common good in like a utilitarian consumeristic
right.
sense.
Right.
Man is a consumer. No, man and woman are created by God for supernatural, eternal ends. Like
right.
That's our end.
Right.
And the common good and social justice need to bear those ends in mind.
And common good could be defined in different ways by different people. One person might think common good means I can have an abortion whenever I want. That's where you're going, I'm sure.
That's actually, that's the next point is one of the other phrases that's, or words that gets thrown out there with social justice. It can lead us down a bad path is the word compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion is good, but it gets used or twisted onto false purposes or bad, evil purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the examples would be abortion. People would say like, this is a social justice issue. This is compassion for a woman who's, you know, she's not in a position to bring a child. It's like, whoa, you know, that's actually, we need to have in mind the truth of the human person again.
Right.
I oftentimes hear this same argument used with contraception, like, but actually, you know what? That's not compassionate to sort of give to, especially when the government's involved, giving somebody the means for a man to just treat a woman like a piece of meat.
Right.
You know, the procreative act without procreative responsibility, like that really reduces the human person. And then here's the final error that is really, I think, important. They use this phrase, Novak and Adams use this phrase, the new civil rights.
Oh, okay.
In which they describe sort of this whole realm of gender and sex and reproduction. And that's something that the LGBT movement, if you will, those that are advocating for the normalization of same-sex attraction as objectively ordered, which in the, as Catholics we know it's not, they sort of draped this movement in the mantle of civil rights,
mm-hmm.
you know, building on the true gains of the civil rights, African-American civil rights movement
right.
in the 1950s and 60s. And so, but we can actually say, well, no, that's not... It's not a civil right in the same sense.
Right.
So we need to, in each of these, we need to be attentive to the truth
mm-hmm.
and sort of using our human reason to sort through the different propositions that are on the table.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
But those are kind of all the things I was thinking of, but can't put into words. And I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. They're like, this doesn't feel like it fits in with my faith when they hear it coming from politicians, from advocacy groups and so on. And they're like, but I don't really know how to explain it. So that really helps.
Yeah. And so we can, you know, and one thing to make clear too is as Catholics, Pope Benedict used to say, like, the church is not interested in left or right. The church is interested in truth. Right. And sometimes we use these phrases of, you know, conservative on the right, liberal or progressive on the left or centrist or whatever. And these may be useful shorthand phrases for us, but they're not within the church's lexicon. The church is just interested in the teaching authority of the church is—it's got competency in faith and morals, and the purpose is to help us get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's not to say that we as lay people can't use these terms or even invest ourselves. We as lay people, we actually are called to be really bound up in, some of the nitty gritty mm-hmm. of politics of our day.
Mm-hmm.
But there can be a danger, and sometimes we hear this phrase social justice maybe used more on the left, if you will. It could be the secular left. It could even be the religious left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not. There are plenty of people who use the phrase even wrongly, who are religious believers. They're not like completely opposed to religion. They have religious faith and so forth. But it's a term that's been held captive in many ways.
Yeah, it's been co-opted in a lot of ways. So is there a way we can kind of take that term back as Catholics, or is it, has the boat left the dock?
Well, if you hear somebody, one thing we can do is, you know, I've kind of joked like hashtag social justice.
Yeah.
It's so, so hard to do like, to have public discourse
mm-hmm.
online. It's hard to do that.
Yeah.
You know, but when we have the chance and we're maybe in person with a friend or there's somebody, maybe we know somebody well and we hear that phrase used either in person or online, we can, you know, maybe it's better if it's online to reach out privately with like direct message or whatever, but to just say, hey, what do you mean by that?
Right.
What do you mean? And just ask that question. Yeah. Ask it a lot. And if they're not quite sure, you can set up a classic, well, do you mean this or that?
Right.
Let's try and arrive at the truth together. Like that's the, That's the essence of dialogue and discourse. Mm-hmm. So to ask questions, what do you mean by that?
Yep. I think that's really helpful. And I've tried to use that a little bit myself lately, is to, when you have someone who you disagree with, try to get them to define their terms, because if you're talking about different things, it just doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
So you have to define the terms, and sometimes they can't define them, or maybe you can't define them.
That's right.
So
that's right. Yeah. And it can be, to ask questions like that, to ask hard questions like that can be some, frankly, it can be a little uncomfortable mm-hmm. for people, because it's not something we're formed in, and it's not necessarily part of our education. I remember in college, I took a class on the Constitution, and the professor taught the class using what's called the Socratic method,
yep.
Socratic dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's just a lot of questions.
Yeah.
You know, one person's kind of on the spot to present the case and describe it. And the professor would just throw a lot of questions at him. Well, like, what did the judge mean when he wrote that? Did it mean this or that? What about this? What about that? And this, you know, you're kind of, for me, it was like both terrifying, but also super invigorating. Like,
right.
Oh my goodness, this person, it's like a really dignifying thing to be asked questions, yeah. even though it can be uncomfortable if it's never happened to us before. But like, oh, this person who's asking me a question, they recognize that I have like an intellect and will, and I'm able to reason, and they sort of like trust me enough.
Right. Right.
To like reason through the question.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe one other thing to just sort of bring up when we talk about social justice is we hear the word justice, obviously, in the phrase. And it's important to remember that like justice is a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the you know, cardinal virtues. Prudence, justice, temperance, fortitude. These were virtues that were articulated even by Greek philosophers before the church came into being and then came to study and accept them. So justice is a virtue, which means that it's a habit that, mm-hmm. that you have. It's a habit that I have. It's a habit that a person has to do the good. And so the virtue of justice would be a habit to continually give other people their due.
Right. Their dignity.
To recognize or to give groups, associations, mm-hmm. as the catechism definition is social justice, to give associations what their due is. So, you know, it's not something that ultimately we can just sort of like say, oh, social justice is the job of, it's the government's job,
or right.
it's actually something that needs to be cultivated in each one of us.
Well, that's really how the church means it, right?
Yeah.
It's really to come from us, not yes. from the government.
And one of the ways in which we can do that, in which we can grow in that habit, is the other half of the term, social. So we've got social justice. The other half of the term, social, you know, it implies that by definition, it includes other people. And that's something that's really at the heart of our American experience. If we think back to, you know, Alexis de Tocqueville, this French guy that came to America in the 1830s and was kind of studying, he was just so struck by Americans wherever they were, formed associations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They got together and they did stuff.
Yep.
They recognized the power and of working together. And that's something really too that's... that the church really honors and recognizes as the social teaching the church developed. You know, John Paul is a great exponent of these mediating institutions of society and like actually how good that can be. So one of the ways in which we can live out this virtue of social justice is communally with others,
mm-hmm.
you know? So whether it's the parent-teacher association or the Boy Scout troop, or you've got your American Legion, or mm-hmm. or your Ladies Altar Society, you know, Catholic Daughters, Knights of I mean, there are just like a million and one ways.
Yep. Even getting involved in politics specifically.
Even in getting, serving on, serving on
yeah.
school board, et cetera. I mean, there mm-hmm. are a lot of different ways mm-hmm. can play out. And there's just such a rich diversity of associations that, and Catholics, I think that's kind of just like baked into our DNA because we do this, I think, really, really well.
Right. Especially as Americans, I think we don't realize that we did some, it kind of came about different here than it did in Europe and so on. We did that much more,
yeah,
much more intentionally. It just kind of came naturally to the essence of who we are as Americans.
Yes.
and hopefully still does. We need it to.
Yeah. You know, and you know, like what exactly should one do as you're seeking to grow in the virtue of social justice? It's like, well, there's not any one answer to that. That's right. Something that each person just needs to, you know, pray, discern, seek spiritual counsel. But I think there's also something that we can all do, which is to just try and read the signs of the times and try and exercise a bit of a, we could call it maybe a prophetic gift in our prayer of like actually asking the Lord, inviting the Lord into like, what is it that is the Lord seeking to heal? What are the wounds of our time that need to be healed? Like the answer to that question is in a certain sense, like a prophetic answer.
Right.
Like the Lord speaking into the time, this time. And one of the things that I want to mention that is just so, so important because it's really under attack today is the institution of the family.
Right.
So when we talk about justice for social justice for children, you know, we as Catholics, we know that every child has a right to a father and a right to a mother. Mm-hmm. They have a right to be conceived in love and to be brought up in love. Mm-hmm. And this is just, we know, I mean, talk about the wounds of the world. We can see that approaching half of all children are raised in broken homes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, that's a violation of justice, of social justice for those children. So that would be just one thing, one area that I would mention just for people's discernment as they're maybe inviting the Lord to speak into their lives. Like, how can I grow in this? What it truly is, authentically is to maybe even just think about what are the wounds of the world? How can I seek to be an instrument to the Lord in healing?
Right. And as your example, how can I help strengthen families or mentor a family or whatever? And that can be the way you work towards social justice.
Yeah.
One of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
There's so much we could talk about with this subject. Again, like the stuff we talk about, I think we could talk for like an hour and not ever hit the end.
Yeah. It's...
There's a lot of stuff here.
There is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for being here again, Chris. I'm sure we'll find... We talked about last time we're going to have to talk about some more political stuff and how it relates to the church. So we'll do that.
You got it.
Again, thank you for being here. All right. Next week's guest is still a mystery, but don't worry. The Holy Spirit will give us someone. I'm sure we'll be great. So in the meantime, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on our YouTube channel. Also our website at sfcatholic.org. Soon this show and others will be on video. So if you would rather see us and watch us, which I have no idea why you'd want to do that, but if you want to watch us, you sure can, and we will let you know when that begins. It will be really interesting and fun, I think. So, all right, that's it for us today. Hope you'll join us again next week for more Catholic Views.